Janet, will you come and read to us, please?
The first reading is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Second reading is John 14 again. It's taken from verse 15 onwards. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will too love them and show them myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and they will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken with you, while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and am coming back again to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come, now let us leave. The section of John's Gospel chapter 14 opens and closes with this brilliant admonition words. Let not your heart be troubled. We're not surprised that the apostles were troubled. After all, Jesus announced that one of them was going to be a traitor. And then he warned Peter that he was going to deny his Lord 3 times. And self-confident Peter was certain that he could not only follow his Lord, but even die with him and for him. Jesus more and more frequently talked about dying and leaving them. But there is good news in this passage. Let not your hearts be troubled, let not it be afraid. How do we overcome being afraid? By truth. The cure for trouble, the cure for the rubbish in this world is truth. And this passage is quite a lot about the truth. This Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And truth is a rare commodity in these days. Going back again to the Epstein files, if you've seen them on the television, you'll see that the majority of the stuff has been blacked out because the truth wants to be hidden by those who are in power. Fake news, lies, falsehood, all prevalent. The BBC has had to set up a verified department because every time news comes in, they have to check to make sure it's not fake news and false news. I want to say this morning that for truth, we go to Jesus. For truth, we follow him. For truth, he is the only one. Jesus says that he is the truth. Not a truth, notice. The truth. Singular. The only way. People today think that all paths lead to God. That's not right. Jesus didn't agree with that. This is the London Underground. Simple, isn't it? Now, if you imagine that you want to get from one place to another, let's see if I can... Say you want to go from Central Line, Oxford Circus, and you want to go to Mile End. You can go any which way you want to get there. That's what people believe about God today. Any direction, any truth, any path that you take will lead you to God. But Jesus says he is the truth, the only way. John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, emphasis on no one, comes to Father except through me. Also, the Bible says that Jesus was the means of truth coming to us. John 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So for truth, we go to Jesus. There are times when we need to remind ourselves of the truth again and again, because emotions are unreliable and fleeting. Here are some truths that we learn from Jesus. What is truth? Well, first of all, there's the truth of assurance. The truth of assurance. Mark 16, verse 16 says, whoever believes in me and is baptized will be saved. We are Baptists here, the gathered here this morning, as we are Christians first, but Baptists second. We believe in baptism for believers. And it's not an optional extra, it is something that is actually needed to be part of your faith walk with God. Now, of course, it's not dependent on salvation. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. But to be a true disciple of Jesus means to be baptized. The scriptures are full of such promises to reassure us of our salvation. Why? Because sometimes we doubt. Our humanity means that unless we can see it, touch it and taste it, we're not convinced. Even electricity, which we take advantage of, believe me, it's real. If you've ever touched a live wire, you'll know that it's true. Doubt itself is not sin. But continued doubt, as James says about being blown by every wind of doubt that comes our way, is. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We do doubt, but doubt is not the truth. Truth is the antidote to doubt. We have been saved. We are saved. We will be saved because Jesus says he is the truth. Then there's the truth of forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Again, there are times when we don't feel forgiven. Times when sin and doubt and all the things that we don't like pile on top of our feelings and our thoughts and our thinking. However, Scripture says that the truth is that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have been forgiven. We are forgiven. We will be forgiven. If we sincerely confess our sin and look to God for forgiveness, we are forgiven. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Not of ourselves, but of God. Useful phrase, robes of righteousness, because it reminds us that we are clothed in righteousness, that we put on these robes on the outside that help us to become clean before God. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. We are given the righteousness that we need by God. We can't make it or fake it. It is given. The truth is in Jesus. Then there's the truth of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew 7 verse 12 it comes in. It says, so in everything do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus has given us a truth in that there is a law to live by. And this law sums up the law and the prophets. It's amazing. If you've ever tried reading through Numbers and Leviticus, you'll know that the laws are complex and very, very far-reaching. Jesus sums it up in one sentence. That's the amazing man that we follow. We cannot earn these things by good lives. God has commanded us to live this truth. It sums up our life code. Do to others as we had them do to us. Imagine if the whole world lived like this. Well, according to the Bible, the day will come when the lion and the lamb will lay down together, and this golden rule will be the law by which we all live. Peace, because we all live by the golden rule. That's the truth of Jesus. And there's a truth about happiness. Psalm 10 verse 6 says, he says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. Only once is this attitude described. It's the wicked who are speaking. Those who have no regard for God. Those who say to themselves, happiness is my God. As long as I'm happy, it's okay. Do what you like so long as you're happy. The truth of the Bible is more stark. Job 5 verse 7 says, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upwards. And this life that we live is often a life of trouble. Two verses, one from 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. James 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Happiness is not guaranteed for the Christian. Not this side of heaven. And that's why Jesus told the disciples to not be troubled. Not be seeking happiness. Instead, be seeking the truth of Jesus. They wouldn't be happy for a while when they realized that Jesus had been taken from them. And when they suffered because of the death of Jesus. When you look at the life of the apostles after the Bible, most of it is difficult to know whether it's true or whether it's fable. But it seems that majority of the disciples after Jesus had ascended ended their lives in torture and death. Early death. Only John, it seems, lived out his life on Patmos. Happiness was not guaranteed, but there is the truth of Christ's presence, responding to the presence of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 20, amongst the last words that Jesus spoke on earth, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Even when days are hard and life is painful, one promise that does remain is that Jesus is with us. This promise again goes beyond feelings and emotions. That great poem, Footprints, tells us, doesn't it, that there are times when we feel that we have been far from God, and it's at those times that God actually carries us. And that's the truth. Not what we feel, not what the circumstances are that we live in. The truth is that Jesus is carrying us, walking with us, sometimes carrying us. Psalm 139 says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Jesus is always with us, and that's the truth of Jesus. And then lastly, there's the truth of life beyond death. I read again, John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, not mansions mentioned. Don't get the idea that we're going to live in a mansion. That's not the words that they're used in the Greek. The words are rooms. Rooms in a huge house of some sort. Or whatever it is, we don't know, but it's not a mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. When we come face to face with the last journey, either for ourselves or for our loved ones, we need that greatest promise from Jesus, eternal life. Sometimes we speculate, we dream, we question, what will it be like? What will eternal life be like? Paul says this, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But it's going to be brilliant. It's going to be wonderful. And we need to know the detail. We do not need to know the details, just the certainty of the truth. That Jesus, who can be trusted, Jesus, who is the truth, says that we will be with him in heaven. When the Apostle John tried to describe heaven in Revelation 21 and 22, he almost ran out of symbols and comparisons. Finally, he listed the things that would not be there. He said there'd be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more night. What a wonderful home it will be, and we'll enjoy it forever. This is the truth to live by and to die with, the truth of Jesus. In times of trouble and doubt, hurt and struggle, the truth sets us free. Let's pray together. Father, one of the songs we sang this morning said, I long to be in the place where there is no more hurt and harm. Instead, there is just trust in you. And we trust you, Father, because your Son said he was the truth, and his words were the truth. And he left us with a counselor who is the truth. And with you, God, there is no lie, there is no falsehood, there is no covering up, there is no redaction. There is only truth. We trust in you because you have given us so much. And we, in turn, look to you to be our truth in the life we live. Hear us in this, we pray. Amen.